Either it's your local app that's sending you information, or maybe it's being pushed to you from the internet. You get these toast notifications that pop up, and then you want to see them. So you have this nice action center that you can go back and look at them all. And that's the life of a phone user. Now we're bringing that over to the desktop as well. We're here with Lei Zhu. We're going to talk about that on this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Lei Zhu. He's a PM on the notifications team. Lei, thanks for being on the show with us.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, it's going to be a great show as we're talking about all kinds of things, including the Action Center. Now, you're on the notification platform team, but that is not all that you're part of. The notification team and the action, what's that? That's an umbrella for a bunch of stuff. Tell me what's included.
Yes, for sure. So I'm Lei. I'm from the notification platform team. So what's creating this whole feature area around notifications and the action center, how people pretty much triage different sort of information that comes from the app when the app's not running, that pretty much is combined by three different components. So we have the server side, which is WNS, which provides a push service for the app server to send down notifications from their server to the client. And then we have the notification platform team, which handles that notification once it arrives to different Windows devices. That includes Windows Phone desktop, Windows desktop, Windows Phone, and even Xbox or HoloLens in the future. And then we have different shells sitting on different kind of devices, and they handle the displaying of the notifications and how to draw Action Center, which is a centralization place where notifications come in and people can chase and see what notifications they've missed in the later time.
Yeah. Chase. I like how you use that word. You guys, that chase to you means I tap on a toast.
Chase to me means clicking on a toast or tap on a toast. And then it launches. We'll get to that at a later time, hopefully. And normally it launches your own app, but we're making notifications more powerful so that chasing a notification can do more things than that.
Got it. All right. So you're on the team that does all the chasing. So you're the team that deals with toast, that makes toast rich, and it also stores up the toast in the Action Center. And we'll talk about how all those things play together. You're not the server team, though, right? That's another team that you guys just work together with.
Yes, that's another team we're working with. But I'm the team where we deal with all the APIs that's available in the toast notification area, and we deal with whatever a developer does to make a toast notification more powerful and do more things for the user.
Lei, have you been with Microsoft for a long time?
I've been with Microsoft since I graduated, so about 2 years and a half. I've been working on notifications since. So I'm really excited about everything in this area. I feel like notifications is sort of the future of where app will become. It's like not only the interaction and the task performing happens within the app, but also outside the app. And that needs to rely on a good notification framework.
Okay, so let's start with Toast. That's the building block here, right? We've had Toast in phone, and the way it's always worked in phone, you get this nice little bar across the top of the phone that shows up. It reads two little lines that, you know, maybe you can read, maybe you can't, right? If it's a long sentence. And on the phone, it may not have an icon, even though the developer puts an icon there, right? Which is the old phone experience.
Exactly.
Swipe it away, and then that's. But that's not where we are. With Windows 10, before we even talk about the convergence and all that business, talk to me about how it's changed. What's the phone experience for just Toast?
For sure, definitely. So that's a nice little history you had right there. Before, we always had the concept of Toast. But for those hardcore Windows Phone fans, I guess you know that Windows Phone didn't start with an Action Center either. Windows Phone didn't start with a place where you can chase or see even all the notifications that you've missed. Notifications show up as sort of a transient message. It comes and goes if you ignore it or if you swipe it away. So then we realized that people need to see that missed information. Why don't we give them a place where all the notifications can be centralized and all the notifications can be chased at any time in the future once they realize that, oh, I haven't touched my phone for 3 or 4 hours. Let's see what I've missed. and then go into the action center. And then
that was in blue. So we, or in Windows Phone 8.1, we announced, hey, here's the action center. You could drag down from the top this beautiful experience and all the toasts that you didn't get to see because they went by too fast or you were looking away. They're all sitting there waiting for you. And I could then chase it individually, tap on one. Let's say it's my email. I could tap on one email message. It would go into that email message for me. But I could also dismiss it. But in the old way, in 8.1, if I dismissed it, it dismissed all my email, didn't it?
Yes. So it really depends on the – yes, but I think you're right. In the old Action Center, when you're swiping away one of the notifications, what happens is we make all the notifications from the same app goes away.
Right.
And that was a design sort of back then in Windows 8.1. We really want to make notification center or action center a really, really, what do you call it, a utilitarian place, where I don't like that terminology, but it's really happens with, it comes down to what action center looks like versus the start. Experience that's visually very exciting, that has all the live tiles on it, it's designed not only as a destination point, but it's also designed as a place where user can glance and look at what's interesting and chase into there. So it's glance and go kind of place. And then Action Center is very dedicated for user to triage information. We want it to be efficient. And the design behind this thinking about making it efficient and utilitarian is once you swipe away a notification, it means you choose to ignore all the notifications from the app. And then all the notifications from the same app will be removed at the same time. And then once it gets to Windows 10, after we studied definitely a different user behavior, some feedback from the user, we realized that sometimes user wants to ignore some of the notifications, but still leave other notifications inside Action Center for triaging at a later time, for dealing with at a later time. Like one example would be you're on Facebook, and you ignored someone liking your photo, but then you also have a comment from somebody else that maybe you want to reply in an hour after you finish your current task of whatever you're doing. So we made each single notification individually dismissible. So if you dismiss a notification from an app, all the other notification will stay in the Action Center.
Okay, so now we're into the Windows 10 Action Center,
right?
And how it's so much better, right? I mean, we've really come so far, and it's so much better.
It's definitely so much better in different aspects.
It seems so simplistic, doesn't it? Starting with the ability just to dismiss away a single item at a time. But if I did want to dismiss all of them, that's still there. I could do it by title, right? I could just swipe away the app title, and they all go away. So if that was still important to me, for example, for me, my kids play Trivia Crack. Oh my gosh, can I get that many little messages?
I know,
it's waiting. Anyway, so you can get rid of that, right? And okay, so that's cool. Another issue that I had on the phone, and I know that you've already addressed it, but that's a fun thing to talk about, is back to the two lines, right? I mean, a developer had to work hard, and if it was a news app and they're sending you a news headline, they got to work those into what maybe 12 words, maybe, you know, and something, it's a 13 word article. And that's solved now too, because that two lines, you talk to me about what's next.
Definitely. So for a notification, we know that it's part of the design language that we embrace, right? It's metro, it's modern notification, and we love it. And one of the aspects of the design is when there is a place where you only have a limited visual affordance and you can only show a limited amount of message or text, and then we truncate it. And obviously, that looks nice. But for some users, you might want to see the full notification of what's going on, because that's all you need to consume to do some task, even probably without chasing into the notification to spend that time going to the app doing something else. All you want to see, for example, you get a verification code from a shopping website, and you want to read the whole verification code of 6 or 8 digits. And you just want to go ahead and read that and move on.
And the toast only shows 5 out of 6 digits.
Exactly, and then it drives you nuts. You're like, I got to chase that and see what's going on, right? But with the new notification, flexible templates, which we'll get to later to talk about all the additional feature it brings. The very basic feature that we brought is every single notification gets it also for free. Nice. It's nice to know that everybody gets this feature for free.
Right.
Your notification comes in on mobile devices in two different modes. So it comes in the default collapsed mode, where you only show the title and the first line of the body text. And then, if you have more content to see, the user can tap on the little grab bar at the very bottom of the notification and just pull down from there. And then it unveils the entire notification.
So we have millions of developers already testing Windows 10, and we know that it's going to be released here and everybody will see it, but not everybody is trying it on their phone yet. You know, they're kind of easing into it. So they haven't maybe seen this new look of where the toast shows up, and there's this little bar with the grabber that you just said that you can grab that, pull it down even further, and read the entire thing.
For sure, definitely. So, which means, please, if you are a Windows Phone fan, start using the Windows Insider. You see that grabber bar from every notification comes in, and you can see how grabbing it down is so convenient and so easy to see all the notification messages. In most of the case, it'll show the full text, because there is a limit of, I think, 4 or 5 text lines. But for most of my daily use, unless it's showing the entire email, I know that I can see everything from a message.
And if I go into the Action Center, I have the same option. There's no grabber, but there's a little chevron that I can tap on that chevron, and it'll pull down, and I'll be able to see the entirety of the message right there in the Action Center.
Yes, inside Action Center, you can always grab the chevron and click on it, and then it unveils the same expanded version of the notification as well.
All right, so we were talking a little bit about Start Screen. And of course, tiles and toasts are related, right? They really are related in the way that they're built with these templates. And so we know that at least with tiles, right, there we got up to about 80 templates that we had created for developers if they wanted their text on this side and an image on that side or two lines. And then Toast, we started getting pretty sophisticated with Toast as the number of templates as well. But now we're going to introduce but just one new template. And talk to us about the new template that we're introducing with Windows 10.
If you have been a Windows 8 developer, modern app developer, thank you for developing for our platform. But on top of that, I know that looking through the tile notification catalog and the toast notification catalog has been a crazy task for you, because you're choosing among all 40, 50 different kind of templates just to get maybe one line bolded or one other line kind of in a subtitle.
Totally.
Font. And yeah,
that blonde girl with the surfboard. I feel like I know her. I've had to look at that tile with her on it.
Yes,
so many
exactly.
Times.
We've had enough of her. And the toast notification especially, because we didn't have any more visual affordance to see to show anything beyond that little banner size.
Yeah.
So we're really just choosing 8 templates between like bolding the first line or unbolding the second line, stuff like that.
Yeah,
but I feel like in Windows 10, we're enabling what's called a flexible template, which is really just one single template for Toast, but you can choose to add how many lines you want of text messages in there. And then the first line is going to be the first line is going to be title, and all the rest of the text are going to be buddy-sized texts. And then you can choose to add optional profile image or even inline image, which is actually quite new as a feature in Windows 10. So imagine you get...
Well, now wait, let me make sure we're together here. So
now
I can go... It used to be I had a template, which was just XML.
Yes.
And I would go in and I would edit values of that XML and pass it to the system, and it would do all the parsing and show me the tile or the toast. Now I have the adaptive template or the flexible template, right? Mm-hmm. And it's still XML. And it just allows you to type anything almost anywhere. All you have to do is follow a schema, but it's pretty straightforward. It's a really simplistic markup where I can go in and lay it out just like you said. I can do images now. I can do columns, rows, groups. In fact, grouping is a big deal, because if I have multiple groups and they don't fit on that, they'll actually truncate my content in a smart way, right?
Exactly. So you're talking about tile, especially a tile dealing with high density displays. And we have the concept of grouping content inside notification and then with the group tag and the subgroup tag inside XML. For Toast, we don't yet have the concept of grouping. But
like
I said, we do have the flexibility that you can apply to different lines of text. And also you can add optional image and even actions, which we'll get into soon.
Let's do it right now. So we have adaptive toast. I keep saying tile, but you know what I mean toast. Okay, yes. Adaptive toast or with this flexible template where I can go and put anything I want that way and line it up the way that I want it to be. Make this bold if I need it to, and I can kind of just decorate it along the way.
Yes.
And then at the bottom of my toast, or it doesn't have to be the bottom, does it? But then in my toast, I can start introducing form elements. Tell me about this interactive toast idea.
Yes, definitely. So this is sort of based on a concept or even a philosophy that we had thinking a long way before Windows 10 has happened. Is worrying the application model team, we always feel like, how do we make users more efficient and more productive when they're using their phone? How do we make users feel like the phone's faster, even though technically or on the spec sheet, it doesn't look that fascinating, right? You don't have the fastest processor, but you know for a fact that Windows Phone has done that. It's one of our best advantages. We don't have the best spec compared with like Android phones or iPhones, but it always runs really fast and smooth. It gives the user a feeling that they're using a fast phone. They're doing their task really fast. And we're thinking about how can we improve that in that aspect in the notification area. So we figure that most of the perception that people feel about things going really fast or things going really slow, it's not the absolute speed. Nobody goes on with a stopwatch and stop measuring all the stuff. It's really about the concept of context switching.
Yeah, the interruption. How much
exactly, interruption you're dealing with and how much you've been switching context for maybe cases where you don't necessarily have to switch context. So one of the classic example of that is definitely notification, right? Notification comes in, maybe it's a really tiny small task that all you have to do is to select from a bunch of different selections. Even once you go into the app experience, right? Alarm comes in, I want to snooze different time, right? And that happens on action mobile required dialogue. Why can't the same thing happen on the toast?
Right.
Same thing goes quick reply. Like if a text message comes in, you really want to just quickly reply to this text message saying where the dinner is at. And then swipe away that notification, send the response, and then move on to whatever task you're doing, even if that's playing a game on your mobile, right? You don't want to get interrupted for that. So,
let's make sure I'm into Star Wars Commander right now. So I'm playing Star Wars Commander, and I get a text message that comes in. Mm-hmm. I see it in the toast, and it's from you, and you're like, hey, Jerry, what are you doing these days? And right below, there's a field, all of a sudden, a new text box that I can go right there and say, hey, Leigh, I'm just playing Star Wars Commander, go. And it, behind the scenes, does all the work for me. I never have to leave the context of playing my game, but I still get to interact with you on my chat client or SMS or whatever it is that made that pop up.
That's exactly right. So a toast comes in, still in the collapse mode. It still doesn't interrupt you as more as what we're doing right now with the banners, because it's still showing the minimal state of the toast. But when you grab it down, not only you see the full content like we described before, but also the control that the developer defines and needed for taking the user's input, whether that's a selection list.
Yeah, it could be a drop-down box.
It could be a drop-down box. It could be a text box. Yes.
Yeah, very nice.
Well, yeah, so that's the controls we're providing to begin with in Windows 10, and we feel like
maybe
that
we'll
covers
see some more controls.
Maybe we'll see some more controls in the future. Yes, we're definitely evaluating that. But for now, I think it covers a good amount of the scenarios where developers are chasing for, right? Which is quick reply to something or quick select something and then move on.
And this implementation is so simple. Like if a developer's listening, I'm like, yeah, I wonder how many atoms I have to split for that, you know? But it's not like that at all. You're already in this XML syntax. And you go down and you just say, you introduce an element called input, and all of a sudden you've got a text box. It's absolutely beautiful. Or is it select or selection? You put a selection in there.
That's very true. And
now it's just
that, so I want to get to that a little bit more, because that's the whole aspect of why we call it adaptive notifications.
Okay.
It's adaptive to different kind of Windows devices. Or even now Windows devices in the future, we don't know, right? But the way we designed it is in the XML, you specify like conventionally we say something like buttons or text box, right? Because those are the name of the controls. But in the XML, we really just define them as actions or user input or selections. They're very semantic. So imagine on Windows desktop and Windows mobile, we treat them, different shells treat them as buttons and text boxes because that's naturally how people interact with that device on those two kind of devices, right? Mm. And however, in the future though, there is a potential maybe on HoloLens, the action could be announced out to you, right?
Interaction
in that way. So it's a really adaptive notification that's adapting the different interaction model and different input method and whatever other aspects of the specific.
So whatever device I'm on, it lights up that way. Special for whatever that one is. Can I get Toast on a Raspberry Pi?
Not yet, but well, that's definitely something that has the potential, right?
Yeah. You said yeah. That means someday. Yeah.
Okay, someday. Yes.
let me ask you a couple more things about. So I go in and I'm decorating this with XML, making sure it's marked up nice. Everything looks the way I want it to look. But I'm a XAML developer, and so it feels like why could I use XAML to do that? Because I already know XAML.
Yes. So that's definitely something we're planning.
As somebody else asked,
evaluating that we really want to support in the future. That's something we really want to support in the future, and we're actively working on that. That's all I can say. But we know for a fact that XAML users, all the people that had experience building Windows apps, they're the XAML developers. They know this language really well. It makes sense for notification to be a fully interactive model to do even more complex things than what we introduce in Windows 10 in the near future. So yes, XAML is definitely one path we're investigating. But imagine this.
I can understand the limitations here. I mean, the payload is still limited to 5K, right? And so, I mean, a XAML developer is used to just typing until their fingers stop working. And so they could fill up 5K pretty quickly in your
payload.
They
can fill up 5K pretty quickly, but then we're also evaluating different ways to come across that limit, whether to increase that limit or to do something like dynamic linking to a local XAML file, which can do data binding to that local file. Right? But that we're talking to the future, definitely. But imagine these two different paths always exist. There's also the XML path, where for people who wants to get a considerable amount of flexibility and interactivity in their notification, they can still easily use XML to define their notification, both the look and the interaction you want to put in it. And maybe in the future, we'll do full XAML, which almost make Toast and Tile turn it into a live widget, where you do some sort of interaction inside there without even having the notification going away afterwards.
Yeah, cool. So many neat things that are possible, man. All right, well, so let's go back. So a developer is like, okay, you can put an input, and so great. So they can go in and say, no, Lee, I'm playing a game. I'll call you in a minute.
Yes.
Hit enter, and my app receives it. There's no UI. What's actually going? Something's got to be doing the execution, right?
Yes. So this is actually there's a lot of things developer can choose here. So once the action happens, or even we go back to the default action which everybody can do is to chase that notification, to click on that notification, or to click on those buttons. Three things can happen based on how developer defines that action or how he defines that default action of that toast. App can launch in the foreground, right? For example, if you click on reply for an email and you want to do longer reply, it could still launch the app, but launch it into a different context. It could just bring up the composing page of the email, and then you can start typing, right? Because you can specify...
Kind of like Share 2 used to do.
Exactly. But you can specify a separate argument inside the action, and then gets passed along when your app wakes up, and you know which action was taken or which button was pressed by the user, and do different things. So that's one thing you can do. And then the second thing, just like you said, you can launch your app in the background without really introducing any UI. And the classic scenario for that is to quick reply to a MMS or to a SMS. And you reply your message, you click on send, notification goes away, you move on to whatever task you're doing, but you know that text is sent. And how we're doing that from behind the scene is we wake up the SMS through a trigger. An SMS app or whichever third-party app register to that trigger with a background task, and their background task gets executed. Inside the background task, you can obviously retrieve the argument you predefined inside the notification, inside this action, and also the user input the user provided.
So, all right, so I can pass in both an argument that kind of indicates to my background task what it's supposed to be doing,
yes,
as well as all of the variables that the user has actually typed in and selected.
Precisely, yes.
Those things, I can act on those as well. All in the background, all with no UI. I'm still inside the context of my game or whatever it is, which from a line of business point of view is sort of awesome because, I mean, it's very common for, in a management scenario for me to have a workflow where – you know, Lee, you just submitted your expense report. It's gone through a rules engine and everything is green lighted. Do I want to approve it or do I want to review it, right? And I can immediately just approve it and move on with something else, go from there. And so it's just all these neat, quick actions, you know, things that just happen. So
I feel like for an app, all it needs to figure out is the right balance between how much they want the user to do inside the app and how much they want the user to do outside the app, but actually truly driving the engagement to the app.
You could almost write an app where the toast is the UI, almost.
Yes, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you can have there was a popular app, Yo, and imagine if Yo uses this, you're just yoing people and then you reply to that message and that's the full interaction you need to interacting with whoever you are on that app. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Coming back to the different things that a developer can do to action, the third thing, after you can do a foreground launch, you can do a background activation, and the third option is you can do a protocol launch. And the definition of protocol launch is use a protocol URI to launch another third-party app that supports
or a website, right?
It or could, a website, I mean, exactly.
Anything. Everything's a protocol these days.
Exactly. Everything is a protocol. You can launch a website. You can launch a first-party. An inbox app supports a protocol as well, like the Outlook that supports sending an email. So imagine if you have a notification that comes in, which is an event invite from your third-party app, and then you want to email to the organizer, and then you can click on a button. You can specify that button to launch the Outlook client. Out to this guy, and there you
Beautiful.
Go. Click on that. Outlook brings up the email composing page, and you start writing the email.
So I can launch my app, background task, or anything else that I can do with a protocol activation.
Definitely.
Beautiful. And so here I am. So that's easy enough, right? It's right there in the XML. If I want a background task, I just type in. I forget what the exact syntax, but something that indicates the background and which background class it is, right? So I can have multiple background tasks handling different toasts depending on what sort of action.
Yes, definitely. The specific trigger that you need for this is called toast notification action trigger, but you can find more details and samples of this in the blog that we'll post later.
Right. And one neat thing I think it's pretty cool. If I'm defining an image inside my toast, that image can actually be local, right? It can be inside. I can ship it in my Apex and point to it with MS-.
You have a lot of different options to add an image inside toast notifications. This is one thing we want it to be flexible, and we want
this is a big change.
Whatever
too. I'm glad we're talking about it.
Exactly. So you have three different choices for adding an image inside a toast. You can specify this image in your local in your application package. You can specify this image in your local storage, and you can grab a wipe URI, which just have a limit you have to keep in mind, which is 200K in terms of the size of the image.
Oh my gosh.
That's plenty for showing anything on a toast notification as we tested. So hopefully that's enough for all the developers.
Okay. And and the file type, probably PNG and JPEG, can I show an animated GIF in there?
You can show a PNG and JPEG, but not animated GIF for now yet.
You're a GIF guy and I'm a GIF guy. Good. All right. I mean, that's a question I get when I'm at hackathons too. They're always wanting to.
I see. Cool. We'll keep that in
mind. Make animation. You know, I mean, that when people are like, I want to use XAML inside the toast. What they're really meaning is they want to use storyboards and all that sort of magic inside it. That's
yes,
what they.
For sure.
They want.
There's one thing you could use though is glyphs.
So, oh.
Yeah, on top of JPEG and PNG, you can use other glyphs that Windows supports, but not GIF for now.
So if it's in the MDL2 font, then you can use that same glyph.
Yes.
And probably a glyph that I ship with my app as well, I would imagine.
Yes, and one interesting fact is the messaging app is already adapting. Of course, we want our inbox apps to ship with the experience that we're introducing. So the messaging apps has already adapted the quick reply scenario with interactive notification. And the send button they use, there's a little paper airplane.
Yeah.
That's a GIF. Oh, sorry. I mean, correction. Glyph. That's a glyph. Yes.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. Otherwise, you would have said glyph. Okay, so let's go back to the Action Center for just a second. So one of the things that's different about the Action Center in Windows 10 that wasn't there in Windows 8 is it has a full set of APIs. I can interact with it, and I can start monkeying with it, and it has triggers. And so talk to me a bit about the developer experience with the Action Center.
Yes, definitely. This is actually a great aspect that we have in Action Center that I think is going to make our Action Center or our experience of dealing with notifications for the user better than any other platforms. Right. So you have what's in Action Center. And after a user handles or deals with some of the notifications, you realize that some other notifications is gone stale as well. So one classic example is I'm a chat app, and I have several conversations going on. And I have incoming notifications from my friend. I have incoming notifications from Jerry. If I chase on one of the notifications from Jerry and go into that conversation panel with Jerry inside my app, then it would make sense for other notifications from Jerry to be gone as well in Action Center, but still maybe leave all the other ones there, right? Because I haven't seen that conversation yet, so maybe I'll chase that later. So there
that's
is a
really good example. And so that's the UI doing it from that can I do it in the background as well if I don't have
access? You can do it in the background as well, yeah. There is a list of APIs for you to use to, for example, replace a notification with a new one if you feel like the old one is stale. And remove notifications either individually or by a group. And that was the example. In that example I gave, it makes sense for you to remove the group of notifications that belongs to Jerry's conversation, right?
And you can do that because those have group IDs. There's an extra tag that you've included.
Exactly. You do that. You do both of that, replacing and the removing, by assigning each notification with a tag ID and a group ID. And then later on, use that to target that notification to apply whatever operation you want to do.
Can I inject items into the notification center silently without a toast popping up?
Yes. Thanks for mentioning that. Definitely. That's a great feature. Like, I know a lot of developers are asking for, I don't want to interrupt the user. I don't want the notification to be interruptive, because it's not like really that time sensitive yet for the user to see immediately. But I really want to make sure the user to see it, so I don't want to send it on a live tile, because I'm not 100% sure whether the user pins their tile or see their tiles on time, right? So the great way of doing that kind of sending that level of message is send what we call a ghost toast or a silent toast.
Ghost toast,
yes.
Nice.
So you have a property where you can specify inside the toast notification, and then what happens next is once it arrives to the client, we won't pop the banner, but we'll silently shuffle it into the Action Center so the user can see it later.
Yeah. That is so valuable. And what a 180 from Windows 8, too. You know what I mean? It would always be, you're not going to sneak things around the user. I mean, we want to make it better for the user.
Definitely. We want to do whatever that makes sense to the user.
Yeah, and that's so good.
And one more thing I want to mention, since we're talking about managing notifications, is notifications you can set an expiration time on the notification as well. So if you know for a fact this notification is going to be stale or irrelevant after a certain time, if I have a daily deal that have a deadline, then if the user clicks on that, after the deal has gone, he'll be disappointed. So I'd rather set expiration time on that toast. So
that is awesome.
That frame. So that's one neat thing we added to the toast notification.
Okay, so I can use APIs or toasts directly, locally, no internet connection, and I can start interacting with the user and have the notification center filling up. But I can also do it remotely, right? I could send it from some server and cause those things to happen with push notifications that are coming in. Another way of interacting.
Precisely.
And as that change happens, right, as things are happening to that notification center, Action Center, why do I keep saying notification center? as notifications are going into the Action Center, that's kind of what it is, events are firing that are background triggers, right?
Yes. So I think you mentioned a great point where notification, everything you can do from the local API surface, you can do it from push as well. So all the removing notification aspects of it, the updating part of it, setting expiration time, and all other things like sending a silent or ghost host, you can all do it remotely or through push by specifying different WNS headers as well. Yeah. And yes, if notification comes in, you can always send what we call a raw notification, and then it triggers the background task, which raw notification is really just a piece of raw data. And then it triggers the background task to wake up your app. Your app can do whatever to prepare
silently in the background.
You want to set up the local notification. Yeah, do whatever in the background, and then send the notification using local APIs, which might be convenience for the app developers.
I've seen the sample even on GitHub where all the samples are. I've seen the sample where you have a background task listening for any change in notification center, action center, so that you can update the badge on the tile to make sure that's up to date as well. That's a great way to keep those up to date.
Yes, definitely. That's one more thing we added in Windows 10 timeframe. We call this a notification history change trigger. So what's going on is every time your notification gets manipulated, other than when you just added something locally, because you will know that, right? Other than that, if your notification history has changed, for example, a push notification comes in or a local notification gets removed by the user or it gets expired by the system, your app can wake up and figure out what's going on. And then the classic scenario, like you said, is to update the badge and tile. That's the top one thing that everybody was complaining is, why isn't my action center and tile in sync? I mean, tile is a great concept, but they're not in sync. I'm not quite sure what I've been missing or which one has the right information.
They were missing Windows 10.
Yeah. So exactly. So now in Windows 10, developers can easily sync their badge and tile content with what's inside in action center.
Right.
And on top of that, obviously, if you rely on this event to do something else, you can definitely do whatever that's in addition to that.
Yeah. Okay, Lei, there's a lot here. All right, let me just kind of do a high level of what we just talked about because it was a big deal.
Sure.
And then I've got a huge super secret I'm going to tell you, which you probably already know. So we know we have the Action Center, right? The Action Center is what we catch all of our notifications as they come in. And you can dismiss them, you can expand them, and now you can interact with them. We have buttons, you can have form fields, and you can talk directly to your foreground UI or your background UI and have everything handled for you behind the scenes with a tremendous experience for the user, right? All of these things with all the APIs available on every possible device across all of UWP, basically. So that you, if you need to interact with it, just go for it. And you can do it remotely like we were talking about, as well as we have this new adaptive template so that you can make your Toast look however you need it to look special for you. And we have this great pull-down experience now in Windows Phone and in desktop. It's big by default, you know, it's really nice the way it should be. Interesting though, in desktop, of course, it's down at the bottom instead of the top. So there's a little, if you're wondering if you're running Windows 10 or Windows 8, just wait for a Toast notification. And if it's at the bottom, then you know you're running 10, I guess. That's the only way to tell. That is the only way to tell if you're running Windows 10. You can just create a wonderful experience thanks to all this flexible Toast, all the stuff you can do inside Toast, this awesome Action Center and a rich set of APIs. There it all is, Lei. What do you think?
Yes, I think it's awesome. I think developers are going to love it. And we really hope to hear feedback from developers. And we encourage developers to try out our SDK. All these different features we talked about are already in the Windows Insider, the preview SDK. So I encourage people. I'm really eager for people to adapt to these features and see more and more powerful notifications show up on our platform so our users can benefit from them.
Now, we know we have a series of blogs dedicated to this, and I'm going to make sure all those links are at the bottom of the show notes so everybody can get them. Dev.windows.com is the source for everything. If they really want to just start somewhere and find all these APIs,
that would be awesome. Here we go. Great channel for advertising our blogs, and I think you find a lot of different examples and great sample codes and explanations and details in the blog posts.
Yeah, cool. Lei, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
We'll see you again.
See ya.